Email psa@kmxt.org.
Welcome to KMXT's Talk of the Rock, our local community affairs program, where we explore issues and organizations related to our community. Talk of the Rock is hosted by members of the KMXT News Team.
And welcome to Talk of the Rock. I'm your host, Jared Griffin. Well, the U.S. Coast Guard cutter Alex Haley recently came out of a seven-month-long dry dock maintenance period. Before that, though, the Haley was awarded with the Coast Guard's, can I say coveted? I'm not sure how coveted this award is, but the coveted MWR award for 2022. That's a morale, well-being, and recreation award. So to help me talk about life on the Coast Guard, life on a cutter, I have joining me in the studio the Alex Haley Executive Officer Commander Ken Sauerbraun. Welcome, Ken.
Hello. Thank you.
Ensign Will Erickson, who's the current morale officer.
Hello.
And Petty Officer Tana Alcantara.
Hi, how's it going?
Also, you're the electronics technician.
Yes.
Okay, well, let's go around because the three of you are kind of relatively new. Tana, you've been here for a few years already.
Yes.
But let's just go around, give yourself a little, give our audience a little background, and what do you do on the Haley? So we can start right here with Will, who has not yet gone out on patrol, but
yeah, no, not yet. My name is Ensign Will Erickson. I hail from the great state of Indiana, and I joined the Coast Guard in January of 2022. In January, I went to Officer Candidate School, which is a 17-week training program, where upon graduation, I received my commission as an officer in the Coast Guard. And so I graduated in May 2022, and I shortly thereafter reported to the Alex Haley, where I am a deck watch officer and the communications division officer. And my main collateral duty is the morale officer.
What is that? Can you define what is a collateral duty? So just like extra work that the...
Yes. Whatever the command wants to throw at me.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. but yeah, collateral duty is a duty that is, I guess, a secondary as opposed to a primary duty, right? As morale officer, I'm in charge of the morale budget, the expenses that we use for morale programming for the crew. So, you know, anything ranging from, you know, doing a pizza party or going bowling or, you know, setting up a hike at a national park during a port call or during dry dock. And so there to provide a sort of an outlet for the crew, you know, because being in Kodiak, which is a pretty isolated place, we're out in patrol in the Bering Sea, you know, that can be it's very taxing, arduous work. So the morale officer is there to make sure that, you know, those sort of fun activities are built into the programmings for to improve health, well-being of the crew.
All right. Okay.
Thank you. And my name is Ken Sauerbraun. I am the executive officer of the ship. The executive officer is in charge of all personnel and administrative programs on board. I've been in the Coast Guard for almost 16 years. This is my fourth afloat assignment. I've conducted missions such as inland ice breaking on the Hudson River, counter drug interdiction in the Gulf of Mexico, and now fisheries in Alaska. So I feel my career has taken me to every corner of the country.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yes.
And Tana.
So I am Tana Alcantara, electronics technician, second class. I work on all of like our navigational equipment, radars, things that help us get to where we need to be. I have been in the Coast Guard almost 4 years. The Alex Haley is my first afloat unit. And I'm excited for all the skills and everything that I've learned from being here. It's definitely an eye-opener, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's helped me grow into who I am.
And stay off the streets and stay out of trouble.
Yeah.
So before we get into the MWR Award, let's kind of give our audience some an idea of what does patrol look like? What is life out there when you're out there for 1, 2, 3 months sometimes?
Mm-hmm. Well, the Galax Haley is 282 feet long. We are a medium endurance cutter, and our typical patrols are usually anywhere from 2 months to 3 months, and we really specialize in operations in the Bering Sea. We usually are out for 2 months, in port for 2 months, getting the crew ready to sail again. So it's a pretty consistent rhythm, and we really pride ourselves in being the bulldog of the Bering, which is the ship's nickname.
I would say our day to day, there's not one day that's the same. When on patrol, I mean, some days we're going to have flight ops, which is, practicing flight operations for when we get deployed for SAR cases and being ready. We also have, weather permitting, we do boardings for our fisheries, conducting our fisheries, and then just our normal drills, keeping the crew always ready, in case there's a casualty.
So I guess I can't ask you what a typical day is like on a cutter.
No.
Well, there is no typical day. The only thing that's typical is that it's long hours and very demanding work when we're underway.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Right. So you come to port every 2 months? Ish,
we return to Kodiak about every 2 months.
Okay.
We have to stop about every 2 weeks for food, for logistics, for mm-hmm. For fuel, mm-hmm. to give the crew a rest. Mm-hmm. So we are pulling in here and there throughout a patrol for logistics stops.
How did the pandemic change? Again, I can't really say the day to day, but in a sense. But how did the pandemic change what patrols looked like? On board, at least.
It did, especially for primary operations. COVID restrictions imposed it just challenges to boardings, and we had to take extra precautions to ensure the safety of our boarding teams and the safety of the crews that we went on board. So we had extra equipment just to prepare for that. We sail with additional testing equipment to hopefully prevent an outbreak on board, which could really affect operational readiness. So we've seen that the pandemic has really forced us to take more precautions for crew safety and the safety of the mariners that we serve. But the mission has not stopped, and
sure.
The pandemic did not stop us from being ready to complete it.
You could say we adapted.
Yeah. Well, and the pandemic has also kind of put a larger focus on mental health, mm-hmm. And especially being on the boat for months with some of these safety precautions and restrictions. How much of an impact does MWR program make on physical well-being, but mental health mm-hmm. well-being too?
I think MWR programming takes on added importance, of vital importance, when you think about all of the going through the pandemic and all the extra stressors that cause. Because, being in a cutter in Kodiak, Alaska, it's obviously, like I said, it's a very isolated place. A lot of people are not from here, so it's new territory. And then add all of the stressors from the pandemic. So that's where I think our MWR programming becomes even more important, to make sure that you're putting on activities for the crew to keep their mind, occupied with things other than, missing family at home mm-hmm. or the restrictions caused by COVID. So I think that's the command was last year. And there are a lot of restrictions in our port calls too, right?
Right. And during the height of COVID, we couldn't visit some establishments on our port calls.
Oh, sure.
The restaurants were closed, or the crews just weren't allowed in just for safety precautions. So that forced us to only leave the ship to the confines of the pier around us, and that's where MWR stepped in with barbecues and fishing activities and other sorts of activities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've heard of some of these some of these activities, and for those who actually participated in these, this kind of connects with the award. It almost makes it seem like this MWR award mean it's even extra special, right? It's mm-hmm. reflecting the new realities. So tell us about some of these events or activities that were developed. There's a murder mystery. There was a
clothespin assassin.
I want to know more about the clothespin
Yeah, Clothespin Assassin, from my understanding, is probably the most famous, or the most popular MWR program.
So everybody who wants to participate, you randomly get a clothespin who has somebody's name on it. And you can't tell anybody who it is, because the whole point of it is to be able to get that person with the clothespin without them knowing. So you'll see people crawling around on the deck trying to clothespin somebody just so that way, they can get the win. And then once you, assassinate that person, you get the person who they had, and then it just goes on from there, and you want to have the most clothespins.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay.
It's a very competitive, but it's fun. It's one of the best morale, I guess, like games you could say we have on board, because it can be done while we're underway. So
I mean, it seems like it would work best in a closed, contained, environment. And murder mystery, was this like a murder mystery dinner party? I don't know. I'm a theater guy, so I'm like, were there costumes?
So the murder mystery game that was played underway, the last patrol, was made by our old morale officer, Lieutenant Junior Grade Matt Moorfield. And he gave everyone was a different character.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had like a sheet of paper with like a paragraph of information describing the character, where they were at the... I think the theme was like it was like a tropical cruise line or something. And everyone was a passenger.
It's perfect for the Bering Sea, right?
Yeah, exactly. and so you had to like talk to other mm-hmm. people to get the information from them, and then it led, as far as no one figured it out, right? It was too hard.
I
don't remember how someone did win. I don't remember what the outcome was.
Yeah,
but everyone had their own alibi. Everyone mm-hmm. had their own motive. Some motives were lies.
So depending on how much information you wanted to divulge, you either put people on the right path or just sent them on like a whole nother rabbit hole of trying to think somebody was the person.
A lot of credit to the crew with both the assassination mm-hmm. and murder mystery game. One, we do more than just assassinate each other.
I was just about to ask, are there other MWR activities that don't involve you killing each other?
those two in particular really bring the crew together, because it forces us to interact with each other, mm-hmm. which is an interaction, a welcome distraction from the normal day-to-day interaction. But, the murder mystery in particular, you should have seen us trying to plan it. It looked like a conspiracy theory board. I was trying to design, like, the web of connections between the characters. It was a lot of fun.
Yes, but we do. We have bingo, trivia.
Karaoke, I think I saw.
Done karaoke before. Also, for people who want to be... or I guess who are more active, we've done yoga classes, and we also, for people who are maybe less active, Smash Bro tournaments.
Oh, sure.
I think Mario Kart at one point. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely a variety of events that we've put on to try to boost morale and get everybody on the in the crew involved in some form or way.
I imagine trying to do yoga in 20-foot waves might.
Not easy.
That's, I mean,
really build your core strength.
No kidding. Mad respect. Okay, so one question I want to know the answer to is, like, how involved were the XO and the CO in these activities? And what do you kind of take from that?
Well, I can say, because I host trivia, that CO and XO show up to every trivia. So.
And win.
Yeah, XO just won the most recent rendition, yeah. Yes. The Christmas trivia.
Yes.
We usually lose in the music round, though. The ones we do lose, it's the music round. In order for a successful morale, well-being, and recreation program to succeed, it really needs command buy-in. It needs to start at the top. And we're lucky that our CO, myself, the Chief's Mess, and all the way down the chain of command has the full support of this program. It really is vital mm-hmm. to our well-being, and everyone's invested in it. So it's an all hands effort, not just a few individuals.
Mm-hmm. So what was it that you think set apart your MWR program from all others? And so that the Coast Guard were like, oh yeah, this is the one that was top notch this year.
For me, I think it's just the breadth of programming that we put on. I think that we counted over 200 individual events throughout the year.
And, wow!
And some were very small. I think we had over a cumulative 2,000 attendees at all the events, or 2,000 mm-hmm. Participants yeah. Total. Some repeat folks going to multiple events. But the role that we specifically played during the early days of COVID, when there were still restrictions in place, mm-hmm. the breadth of programming, and really the creativity. We designed that the murder mystery entirely from scratch. We brought the morale officers brought an energy to the program that I really think would rival almost any other unit in the Coast Guard. Mm. So I feel that we absolutely are proud of that award, but the crew that really took ownership in the program deserve it.
Mm-hmm. Were there any ideas that just bombed?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Penny Wars.
Penny Wars.
What was Penny Wars? I just heard that wasn't a huge success.
I'm not going to lie. I was thinking about telling him about the hot dog eating contest that we also had. And then wasn't there a pie contest?
There's pie eating contest.
Oh, the eating contest.
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Those are not the high points of the morale program.
No, they were not. But they were just, fun for everybody.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, hot dogs plus the rough seas of the Bering. That's...
yeah, no kidding. Let's see. Okay, well, let's talk about what you've been doing over the past 7 months. While you had this great, robust MWR program, and you were out there and you won an award, and then you come back to port and they say, "We got to find something for you to do for the next 7 months," right? So. First, let's just talk about the Haley. What kind of work needed to be done that took, 7 months sounds like a pretty long time to be in dry dock.
Yes, it's it was a planned availability. So we, every approximately 3 to 5 years, depending on the class of the ship, come out of the water for routine preservation work, painting, mechanical repairs. In our case, we're an older cutter, so we... we're also a one of a kind. The Alex Haley was originally a salvage ship operated by the Navy, commissioned in the early 70s. So we acquired the Alex Haley. It was the USS Edenton from the Navy in 1999, and because of that, we are it's a one of a kind. A lot of the systems on board are antiquated. Parts are hard to find. Mm-hmm. Were a unique configuration, so that adds to the complexity of a dry dock. For us specifically, we sent a lot of major machinery out for repairs that had long lead time materials. Mm. So there are a lot of complexities to the dry dock that forced us to be down in Seattle for that long.
So what does the crew do?
I mean, when you don't
have your boat for 7 months.
Well, the crew is still attached to the boat. Mm-hmm. So we did work on the reduction gear, the propulsion shafting, a lot of the anchor chain and the lifting systems, down to the propeller hubs and tank inspections. So the crew was engaged in inspections of that okay. work. There's routine maintenance that has to be kept up just on our rescue and survival systems and the machinery that's not being worked on. So we kept up with that machinery. But there was plenty of time that we gave folks the opportunity to travel, to take some time off, and to there were actually morale events during dry dock as well.
And there was I'm not sure exactly what the term is, like inter-military exercises. There was the Rim of the Pacific Naval Exercise. Did you participate in any of those?
So Rim of the Pacific, also called RIMPAC, is a exercise, a multinational exercise.
Oh, multinational.
Every year, based out of Hawaii. And we sent a crew member to participate in that and stand watch. The cutter itself was not a participant, mm-hmm. but we had a crew member there that was representing us and representing the partner nations.
Have you been on the Haley when it's participated with partner nations, and have you worked with other Coast Guards from other countries?
We did an exercise with the Japanese Navy,
Coastal Defense Force.
Mm-hmm. I was there for that, and that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, what's that like? How much can you tell us?
we work to build partnerships with our partners, especially in Asia and in Canada, and that specific exercise we did drills working on communications between us, naval signaling, mm-hmm. Making sure that there's working to build interoperability mm-hmm. Between the two different warships. Communications exercises, maneuvering, in formation steaming. So it's those sorts of things that we practice. But it's a lot of it is just presence and mm-hmm. and building those relationships is really the very valuable thing for the Coast Guard and the nation, to be honest.
So let's talk about Alaska for a little bit. What are you seeing out in the Bering Sea, especially with it seems like there are more boats coming through now, it seems. Fishing might be pushing a little bit further north. Are you seeing just more work to do in general in the Bering Sea, or has it not really changed?
I would say just
there's always work, right? There's always fleets. It varies with what fisheries open and what's closed.
That's true.
The Bering Sea lies on the Great Circle Route from the West Coast to the major ports in Asia. So there's always cargo ships going through. There's also different fishing programs community fishing programs that are sponsored there's always someone fishing.
There's always
there.
Yeah.
We're always there for presence, and make sure there's no incursions into our sovereign space, into mm-hmm. our territorial seas and fishing waters. So that's why it's important for the Coast Guard to always have a presence in the Bering Sea.
Sure. Yeah. We got a few minutes left. So, what happens next? How long is everyone in town?
We're going to be in town for a little bit, and then back on patrol.
And then back.
Back on patrol.
Will the MWR program from last year be part of this next patrol, or what are some of the...
Absolutely.
We got a new morale officer here, so I'm sure you're going to bring some new...
Yes. Yeah, we're definitely adds a few things here and there, but honestly, we had some roaring success last year with our morale program, especially the activities underway. So, like I said, Mr. Moorfield, he really spearheaded, he was the previous morale officer, and he really set future morale officers up for success with the awesome programming he put on. So hopefully just repeat that. Probably working on another murder mystery right now. Definitely we'll keep for the fun events like Coast Pin Assassin, but we'll add some other...
Not non-lethal.
non-lethal. Yeah.
In our final couple minutes, why don't we just go around and I would imagine each of you has like one really just fun story. Like, what's the most fun? And it doesn't necessarily have to be MWR related, but and keep it clean. Keep it clean. this is public radio. What's just the one fun story that kind of sticks out?
From a time on the Haley?
Or anytime with the Coast Guard. But yeah, if you got a Haley story.
You know what stick out are always the highest times and lowest times, right? And the heavy seas always has a way of sticking, in a sailor's memory. Oh, so I mean, I remember we were transiting from Alaska north. We were going to patrol a little bit north in the Bering Sea, and we hit some very very heavy seas, and a lot of the crew got sick, and. It took an all hands effort just to, keep the ship safe on course and steering correctly into the seas to prevent damage. That was incredibly challenging. But like once you got through it, and on the bright side of that storm, like you look back and like, wow, that was really cool. That one, we survived, and two, that we pulled together as a crew and got through it.
Doesn't sound fun, but it sounds.
No,
meaningful.
Absolutely, yeah. And the ship is very, it's very well designed, and it's robust. Like we can survive very heavy seas, a lot heavier than we saw that day. But it still was, we need to be ready to go out in any weather, and we need to be ready to respond in some of the toughest seas that it can throw at us, and it's just fulfilling when we know that we have the capability of doing that, and gives you the confidence.
Tana, Will, fun story?
I guess what I would have to say is I want to say it was two Halloweens ago. We held a costume contest, and just seeing how engaged the crew was with like coming up with costumes, and you had to perform a little skit and to try to win votes and.
And these are costumes made just from materials on the ship?
No. Some people, yes. They used stuff that was around the boat or whatever they could find. Then others, obviously, they planned and brought it with them. But it was really nice to see how creative people could be. One person was, or two people were cannibals, but they were peanut butter and jelly. And they walked in with the peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
That's like, clever.
It was clever.
Okay. Well, thanks again for coming to talk about the Alex Haley, the award-winning MWR program. I think it sheds some light for those of us land lovers what life is like out there and how hard it is. So thanks for all of your work out there, and thanks for the morale work that you do. I'm sure it's very much. I know it's very much appreciated. So thanks again to my guests, Commander Sauerbrunn, Ensign Will Erickson, and Petty Officer Tana Alcantara. Thanks again for
Thank you for the opportunity.
On
the
show.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Pleasure to be here.
This has been KMXT's Talk of the Rock, our local...